Start in 1 Samuel chapter 1 today, so I'll have you turn there. 1 Samuel chapter 1. We are in the middle of a baby boom at Open Door Baptist Church. And I love it. I just think that's fantastic. Actually, what we have is a church that has a lot of families. So we've got anywhere from little infants all the way up to college age and just about everything in between. Okay, I want to tell you something today that parents think of initially and then reflect on it at the end of their parenting, but don't often think about this when they're in the midst of it all. And it is this, folks. Parents, your children are worth the investment. They are worth the investment. Yeah. Because having children and investing in children are two different things. A lot of people in this world have children, but God has called you to invest in your children. And I know it gets tough to remember that when it's 3 a.m. and the baby's crying. This is an investment opportunity. It gets tough to remember that when your 10-year-old leaves his bike behind your car for the fifth time, and this time you didn't see it before you pulled out. This is an investment you've got to put into your child. It's tough to remember that when your kid's 18 years old, okay, and borrows your car, and due to his own error, has a fender bender with your car. There's investing to do. So we started last week looking at Mother's Day, starting a part in our investment series on family investments. Family investments. So today and next week, I'm going to be talking to you parents, okay, for the next couple of weeks. If you have children that are already out of the house, or you don't have children, you think this doesn't apply, you hang in there, okay? Remember, those of you who have already gone through all of this, your experience is helpful. Your experience is helpful. We need that. So yeah, we're going to be talking to parents for the next couple weeks about investing in your children. Can I suggest something, especially to all of our new parents and young parents? You want more than just to have your children grow up and stay out of jail. Can you shoot a little higher? I hear that a lot. I hear that from parents. At least he's not doing drugs and at least he's not in jail. Well, you can go better than that, can't you? I think so. What does it take to invest in your child? Really, we're going to look at two really good investments in your children. Just two, okay? What does it take? Well, the first one is found in 1 Samuel 1. And number one, to invest in your child means it's going to take a heart of dedication. A heart of dedication. And, you know, whenever I think of dedication and parenting, man, I cannot help but think of Samuel's mom, Hannah. My mind always goes to this woman. What was going on there? Well, it says in 1 Samuel 1, there was a certain man from Ramathophim, Sophim, of the mountains of Ephraim. His name was Elkanah. And you look at verse 2, and it says Elkanah had two wives. All right, there's an example of what happens when you let the culture influence you. Elkanah had access to the writings of Moses. He should have known that God meant for one man and one woman to be married, but that was a cultural thing for one man to have several wives, and he let the culture seep in. So he had two wives, and one was Hannah, the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And the man went up from the city yearly to worship and sacrifice the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, and he took his wives with him. And of course, well, it says in verse 4, Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he'd give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. So there, really, the one who had his heart was Hannah. If he'd just done this God's way, he'd have been married to one woman, that would be Hannah. But Hannah was barren, she couldn't have children. And she really, really wanted children. And it says in verse 6, it says, and her rival also provoked her severely. In other words, these two women married to the same man couldn't get along. Well, see, that's what happens when you don't do things God's way. Never produces peace and harmony. Never does. And so here is Hannah wanting to have children for her husband. She can't do it. She just can't do it. So this is what a godly investment does. A godly investment promises dedication. That's exactly what she did. She made a promise, which you better be careful, the Bible says, about making promises. Better to not make a promise at all than to make one and break it. But she made a promise. It says in verse 11, she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, praying to God, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child. A male, that was important, to give him a male. Give him a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. What was she doing? She was making a promise that if God would give her a little boy, she'd dedicate that boy to the Lord's service all his life. That is, commit him to the life of a Nazarite. A Nazarite was one who, due to a service to the Lord, would refrain from any fruit of the vine, wouldn't drink any fruit of the vine. He wouldn't touch a dead body, animal or human, and wouldn't cut his hair. Most Nazarites did so temporarily. It was for one particular vow to the Lord, and then once the vow was accomplished, they did what they set out to do. Then their Nazarite vow was done. They could go back to, you know, touching, you know, moving a dead body, or and they could cut their hair. Well, in Samuel's case, he was dedicated as a Nazarite his whole life, just like Samson was, his entire life. Okay, that dude must have had some long hair when he was an old man, but that's what he was dedicated to doing, and it was because of his mom's promise. So a godly investment promises dedication, but a godly investment also practices dedication, follows through with the promise. And she did. Take a look at this. Let's see. Verse 24. Let's see. It says, now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bulls, one ephah of flour, a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. The child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. Eli was the priest. And she said, oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood before you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I have also lent. That word would better be translated granted. I have also granted him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be granted to the Lord. They worshiped the Lord there. She followed through to give this little child to Eli to bring up in the ways of the priest. And you might be thinking, Eli's thinking, well, thanks a lot. I'm going to raise this child. But that was an honor because this was an answer to prayer. This was God's doing. But did you notice when she did this? When she had weaned him. In that culture, that was anywhere between the ages of 2 and 3 years old. Now, Paxton's downstairs, isn't he? Did you take him downstairs? Okay, I was going to bring Paxton up here. Because how is he approaching two? He'll be two on Thursday, okay? So can you imagine, little Paxton here, 2 years old. Imagine, do you think that maybe Jen and Eddie have kind of gotten attached to this little guy after 2 years? But at that age, now take that little boy and give him to Eli and say, he's yours. You want to talk about a dedicated parent. Oh, she still got to see him once a year. She didn't get to raise him. But she kept her promise, and she dedicated that boy. Now, some churches do what's called baby dedications. Baby dedication, parents have a newborn baby. They take the baby up to the front during church service, and the pastor prays over the child and over the parents. And it is usually a prayer of God, this child is dedicated to you for as long as he or she lives. And we pray for the parents as well. Okay, it's called baby dedication. And some churches do it, some don't. The church that I went to in Iowa practiced baby dedications. The act is not unbiblical. It doesn't contradict Scripture any more than dedicating a new church building is unbiblical. We do that build a new building, we have a dedication service. This is your building, Lord, to be used for your work. And some parents do that. Some churches don't. Ours is not in the habit of it, in part because it gets very confusing for some who have come from other churches that baptize infants. Because baptizing infants is unbiblical, and they do it for the sake of saving the child. Many churches do. And so for some, they see a baby dedication, it causes confusion. My wife's mom, my mother-in-law, she came out of a church that did that, so she gets uncomfortable with baby dedications. She says, seems confusing. Is this what my church did when they baptized? So we just don't practice it, but there's really nothing necessarily unbiblical about doing that. As a matter of fact, in our own hymnal, hymn 469 is a hymn written on the idea of baby dedication. It's a short hymn. And it says, this child we dedicate to thee, O God of grace and purity. In thy great love, its life prolong. Shield it, we pray, from sin and wrong. Okay. Oh, may thy spirit gently draw its willing soul to keep thy law. May virtue, piety, and truth dawn even with its dawning youth. Okay, yeah. The idea behind dedicating a child. Listen, don't feel too bad, you young parents, that this act of child dedication is not our practice at Open Door, bringing the child forward and praying over it. Because bringing your child down the aisle and having me or Pastor Paul pray over that little baby does not truly meet what the heart of dedication is here. It doesn't meet what Hannah did, okay? If you really mean to dedicate your child to the Lord, that you want to dedicate this God for God to do his will so that this child would grow up in the ways of truth and walk in the ways of truth, if that's what you really mean to do, to dedicate your child with the same heart that Hannah had, then listen. What that means, parents, is you must prepare to say, it is well with my soul if God takes this child before he takes me. So you better be prepared to say that if you're going to say, I want to dedicate my child to the Lord. Because in so doing, you grant God your child to do whatever he wills to do. You must prepare to say, it is well with my soul, God, if you use this child in full-time ministry over in Libya, Africa, where I will only see him or her once in a great while, where my child may suffer persecution or perhaps imprisonment, maybe even premature death for his or her service to Christ. You better prepare your heart to say that is well with your soul if you want to dedicate this little baby to the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, that puts a whole new light on this whole idea of child dedication, doesn't it? You see, that's more than walking down the aisle and saying a prayer. That's talking about lifelong commitment. That's one that says, God, this is your child to do your will, as opposed to, God, just keep my child out of trouble. Keep him out of prison. Keep her off drugs. See, dedication is not only for the child, but this heart of dedication is also for you parents, right? You're dedicating yourself as well. You're dedicating yourself, parents, to how you bring up this child so it doesn't become, you know, you better behave in my house because that's all about me. But rather, let's learn the ways of God because living is all about Christ. See, that's what dedicating yourself as a parent is, and that takes dedication. And it was that heart of dedication that Hannah had. And look how Samuel turned out. I mean, this man grew up to serve the Lord faithfully, even though it cost him. He failed in some areas, and we're going to look at that next week. But the pattern of his life was he was faithful to the Lord, and he lives in eternal peace today. Now, wouldn't Hannah be proud of that? Wouldn't she be glad for that type of a boy? And parents, this is a hard investment, but it is so worth it. It's worth it. And I've said this 100 times. Better to have your child serving with his or her life on the other side of the world than to have him sinning in your own backyard. Right. Much better. Right? Now, that doesn't mean that dedicating your child to the Lord means he's going to turn out to go into full-time ministry. We're not saying that. How many in our church auditorium right now are serving in the capacity of full-time ministry? Raise your hand. Me, Paul, Becca, raise your hand. Naomi, okay. You're part of the team. Sorry, I came with the package and you're in the ministry. So there's four of us in this whole auditorium. But how many in this auditorium are dedicated and committed to serving the Lord Jesus Christ with their life? Full of people in this auditorium like that. You see, that's where you're headed with your child. Maybe full-time service, maybe not, but full-time life commitment, living by the ways of God. Well, this is what we're shooting for. And you can do this. You can commit your child in that way and how you bring up your children. Now, you got to determine your goal in bringing up your child. And that really leads to the second investment in child rearing here. And that is this. You got to invest in your child with a heart of training. With a heart of training. That's right out of Proverbs chapter 22, 6 and Ephesians 6, 4, which we've already read. But let's look at Proverbs 22, 6 if you haven't already memorized that. And it talks about exactly this. Proverbs 22, 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Okay? A heart of training. The word train, did you know that word also means to dedicate? Dedicate your child in the way he should go, but it's an active word. You got to do something. And it comes from a word that means this, to put something into your child's mouth that tastes good. That's what it is to train your child in the way he should go. It means put something into their mouth that has an appealing taste. We're talking about the ways of God, right? You got to put into your child's mouth, that's figuratively speaking, the word and the ways of God in such a way it tastes good that they want to grasp onto that and won't let go even when they're old. Well, this starts young. You got to start this right out of the gate. You know, you got to not look at your little kids as your peers, as little adults. And with some, it's really easy to do that. I mean, how many of you ever been in the nursery and looked at Paxton Nelson and said, he is such a little man, right? You know? When Lexi Learned was this big, she could tell you what shoes went with what handbag, all right? And when it comes to those kind of children, it's so easy to say, boy, it's such a little adult. No, they're not. They are children. Their minds are not developed. They still have foolishness bound up in their heart, and it wants to hang on. They are in need of training. They are in need of parenting. Parents, you are not your children's peers. In you, they don't need a peer. They need a parent who's willing to train. There will come a time, I can tell you, there will come a time when you will move from being parent to being the peer of this child. It will happen. My dad raised me as a parent. Parented me growing up. And now, my dad is my favorite hunting partner, with my oldest son as a close second. Right? My dad and I are peers. And the reason we are peers on good terms is because he started out as my parent. Parents, be a parent to those little ones. You're not going to be peers for a long time. You start now, and you're going to be peers on very undesirable terms later. You start now, you put the odds in your favor that you're going to be peers on good terms because you're a parent today. That takes training. Train up a child the way they should go by putting into their mouths the ways of God in such a way it tastes good. You know one way you do that? Well, you do that by not teaching your child that the Bible is a list of do's and don'ts. Don't teach them that. The Bible is a list of do's and don'ts, because that is not what the Word of God is. The Word of God is God's love letter to us, instructs us the way of salvation, and then instructs us how to work and live our salvation. And that's a joyous thing. It's a life of freedom to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Teaching that to your children is biblical. That takes effort, okay? You know, Another way to put into their mouth the ways of God in such a way it tastes good is to train your child in godliness by living in godliness yourself. Children can note a hypocrite, okay? And they see it in us parents first because they know us better than anyone else. You know, they live with us. And so live for the Lord yourself. Now, I can tell you, you're not a perfect parent. Okay? You're not a perfect parent. I told all my boys, I watch them. And I check up on them. Okay? And I say, I want to know the code to your computer there. I want to get in there anytime I want. They never argue with me. If they ever did and they ever said, hey, what's the deal, Dad? Don't you trust us? My answer is no. Because I know your dad. That's why I don't trust you. I know who your dad is. I need to be a parent to them. And so I work with them, but I'm not perfect. And you young parents, you won't be either. I can tell you right now, your children are going to fail. You know how I know that, parents? Because I know who their mom and dad is. You fail. We all do as parents. I wish that I could go back in time, and there are certain points in my parenting and in my training, my three boys, I wish I could go back to certain points and relive that moment and do it differently. About 5 or 6 really big ones come to mind, but there's a lot more than that. Yeah, I failed many times as a parent. You will too. But when you have a heart of dedication and a heart of training, the pattern of parenting means your failures will be outweighed by your successes. They will. And it takes work. This parenting thing is something that you learn as you go. And there's a lot to learn. You're supposed to train the child in the way he should go. Well, you got to be going that way first. The way your child should go is what way? God's way. So you're teaching your child that his or her way must be God's way. And if your child learns this early, he is not likely to walk away from it later in life. Don't teach him to walk your way. Teach him to walk God's way. Just point out you're doing that as well. Okay? Because remember your goal. It's not simply to raise a child that stays out of jail and is a decent citizen who takes care of himself and is kind to his family. See, if that's all your goal is, well, then look no further than the world's methods, because the world produces those kinds of people all the time. But if your goal is to bring up a child who will walk with God and who will seek God's will all of his or her life, well, then that takes godly training, and it's hard work. It is hard work. You're going to have to sacrifice to do this for your children. You will have to do that. Because without this type of training, children are not likely to just turn out. Okay? I know a man who, he himself grew up as a, caring man who contributed to his family by providing for his family, and had a long, healthy marriage with his wife, and worked hard as a provider. But, he didn't really train his kids. He didn't spend time investing in his kids. So one after another, his kids grew up, and boy, they just went the way of cutting loose. Get pregnant outside of marriage, then marry somebody else, and then divorce that person and get married again. One ended up in jail for a while, and they did all the things that he never did. And he scratches his head. That's because training your children is more than just training by your example. It means training by your words. You got to spend time investing and talking to your kids. That's work. Timothy in the New Testament was one such young man whose father was absent, but his mother and grandmother were involved. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded it is in you also. Where did Timothy get that faith? He was trained in the faith by his mom and evidently by his grandmother. They had a part of, there was a way of passing the baton of faith by training. And this young man grew in the ways of God. So training up a child the way he should go, parents, it's a skill. It is, and one that you learn as you go. You know, we have a lot of resources here at Open Door to help you do exactly that. Take God's principles and put them into effect in your home. Take the time, you young parents. Take the time to learn and apply those principles quickly in your parenting. You know, wise investments into your children, or when you invest wisely, it doesn't mean that their individual soul freedom is wiped out. They still have the responsibility to choose the ways of God. And you can invest in your kids and have more success than you make mistakes, but you know, in the end, it's still up to them. It's still up to them. I've seen young people grow up given all the Christian breaks, meaning they were given the ways of the Lord. They had parents who loved them in the Lord and gave them the truth, and sometimes those kids still walk away from Christ. I've seen others who grew up in horrible conditions and broken homes and make decisions for Christ and are following him to this day. So you see, it really is up to the individual in the end. However, when you parents invest in your kids and give them right choices, and you give them what they need to make right choices. And you know, I've been told, and I understand, that we parents never really stop investing in our children, even when they're old and gone. It's just the way we invest in our children changes, that's all. Parents, you can always invest in your kids. Even when you are both drawing Social Security, you can still invest in your kids with patience. See, my dad has lots of patience now. Okay, a lot more than he did when I was a kid. When he comes over now and visits us, or I tell him the latest shenanigans that I've dealt with my boys, he laughs. He's real patient with that, where they're concerned. He wasn't very funny when I was doing that kind of stuff. You know? But you can be patient still with your grown children. You can invest in your grown children with forgiveness. Your grown children still sin. They still offend you. You can forgive them. You can invest in your grown children with wisdom. After all, you're always going to be a step ahead. You are always always at where they are still going. You always have something to offer. Maybe you might from time to time be able to invest with godly counsel when they ask. Okay? And all of this investment is to be done under the umbrella of love. Loving your kids. This is hard work. And I'm going to tell you, young parents, you're going to hear this, and if you haven't already, you're going to hear older parents say, you need to make the most of these days because they grow so fast. They told me that when I was a young parent, and I didn't believe it. And I said, come on. I didn't say that out loud. I was respectful. But in my mind, I said, what do you mean they grow fast? We're talking 18 years from the time this little boy is going to go off to college, or you know, maybe even 20 years by the time they really are out on their own. Or go fast? It's not going to go fast. Young parents, everybody here who has little children or a little baby, or you think you might be having a baby sometime, let me tell you something. Make the most out of this because they grow fast. I'm sending my oldest off to college in a few months. The guy was just born a few days ago. A few days ago. You know? It's clear in my mind. And the other two are right behind them. They're all taller than me now. They're all stronger than me. They can't take me yet, and they never will. But they're just growing, and it happens. And what I'm telling you from experience is the Word of God is true. They are worth the investment. Two good investments. Listen, parents, with a heart of dedication, with a heart of training, man, you'll put time into your kids that will come back for you. Even when your kids disappoint you, God's word will still come back for you. Next week, let's continue on with this idea of family investments, the children, part two. Father, we thank you for children. Lord, I thank you for your word, which gives us what we parents need to invest in our children. I thank you for the wisdom that has been displayed by so many parents here at Open Door, and still are. I thank you that we've got parents still investing lovingly into their kids, though their kids are grown adults themselves. Father, I pray right now for all of our young families, our young couples who have babies and 2- and 3-year-olds and children, and may you just please continue to equip these parents with a daily dose of your wisdom from your word, that those parents may in turn parent their children to bring them up to be one day equal and loving peers serving you. I ask this in your son's name. Amen.